In a world of infinite decisions and supreme unknowns, how do we do the next right thing? That's exactly what we're talking about in the sermon series. And we're on our third week. In the first week, Pastor Terry talked about how it is so easy to feel overwhelmed in the present, especially right now during a pandemic. Sometimes being overwhelmed can cause us to feel paralyzed. And so she read the story of a paralyzed man and his friends who needed to see Jesus to help their friend. And they would do anything to get them to see Jesus. And the next right thing was to see Jesus at any cost. And last week, Pastor Katrina helped us learn how we can know that we're doing the next right thing. Are we loving others? Or are we doing no harm? Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. But if you're anything like me, over the past couple of weeks, you have asked the question, the next right thing? What about the future? I can only know the next right thing based on the long-term ramifications. But what we're going to learn today is that God gives commands before God gives clarity. I'm one of the most indecisive people in the world when it comes to financial decisions. My wife, Brittany, with no doubt would tell you the exact same thing. So recently we had some air conditioning issues at our house and we had multiple people out making their bids and recommendations and I couldn't figure out what to do. Do we spend a ton and have it replaced? Or do we spend less to have it repaired and hope for the best? While I was struggling with what to do, Brittany and I were sleeping in the basement because it was cool there. We also recently bought a new car, and the amount of research and deliberating I did over it was borderline unhealthy. But don't worry, it's nice and cool here in our house, and we're enjoying our new car. But it doesn't even have to be large expenses for me to agonize over them. If it's outside of the things we regularly need, groceries, household goods, stuff like that, I often agonize over it. You know, a new suit, nice new shoes, a new TV or other kind of electronics, I can't stand making those decisions because I just know I'll go too deep down the rabbit hole. And Brittany hates it. She doesn't even go with me to the stores because she doesn't want to deal with me while I'm thinking about it. But those that know me know that this isn't really typical of my personality. I'm typically a much more laid back, go with the flow person who doesn't get rattled by too much. But for some reason, financial decisions just make me uptight. But I'm pretty sure I know the reason why this is. It's because I'm concerned with the long-term ramifications of the purchase. What if these shoes make my back hurt if I wear them for too long? Or what if they wear out too easily? Or what if buying this means that I can't do that later on this month? I know that I'm going to like whatever car we pick out, but what about 75,000 miles from now? Will the car hold up? Will I still feel good about how I spent my money? You see, the question I constantly find myself asking is, will future Sean be happy with what present Sean decides to do? But the problem is that these are questions that can't possibly be answered until the future actually comes. All we can do is make the best decision now with the information we have in front of us. Maybe you can relate to this, whether it's about how you spend your money or perhaps it's about something else. Maybe you have a hard time doing the next right thing because you won't know if it was right until later. And the water gets even murkier during a global health pandemic. I've talked to friends who struggle with helping their elderly parents or grandparents out of fear of putting them at risk. Others aren't sure if they should keep their child at their current school or daycare for this year based on health risks. But other parts of life still continue. Do I keep my current job with less pay that I enjoy more and allows me more time with my family? Or do I take another opportunity for more pay? Do I stay in this relationship, or is it time to move on? Or maybe your decisions during quarantine are less dire. If I don't brush my teeth today, will the people in my Zoom meeting be able to tell? But the point is that there are so many questions, and many of our decisions are made with an eye on the future. We want to do not just what is right now, but also what is going to prove to be the right thing later on. Often it can cause us to ask God for help. Our prayer, especially here in Missouri, might be, God, show me, or God, give me clarity. But what we learn from our scripture reading today is that God gives commands before God gives clarity. Last week, Pastor Katrina preached on one of the most unheard stories in scripture, and so this week I thought I would counter with one of the most well-known. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, which is one of those four books in the Bible that tell the story of Jesus' life. We're reading in Chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, where Jesus has just begun his ministry and starts to invite others to come with him. I've asked Mark to help us do our reading today.
The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. Calling of the first disciples. As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Here ends the gospel reading of our Lord.
In this story, four of the 12 disciples are called by Jesus in just five short verses. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. If you're having a hard time seeing it, here's some pictures that I took for my last trip to the Holy Lands in December. If you'd like to see the Holy Lands, let me know. We have a trip planned for after the virus passes. I'd love for you to come with us. But this is the place on the Sea of Galilee that this interaction took place. As with every important place in Israel, there's a church built on it, and inside you can see original bedrock. But you can picture the boats, maybe one that looks like this boat that archaeologists discovered. It dates to the time of Jesus. And it would be just out off the shore, working to bring in some fish, as Jesus, walking along the shore, called out to these men. Here's a little bit of background on Jesus and these four guys that he's just called. There isn't a lot, other than we knew that they were disciples of John the Baptist, and some scholars actually believe that James and John were first cousins of Jesus. But what we do know is that fishermen during the time of Jesus worked tireless hours of hard labor so they could live what we would call paycheck to paycheck. Because no fish, no pay, no fish, no food, and no future. There was obviously no refrigeration, so they had to catch fish and push the product immediately before it would go bad. Peter and Andrew weren't done with their catch, and James and John hadn't even started yet, and Jesus interrupts their day. I really want you to pay attention to what Jesus says in verse 19 when he approaches them. He says, "Come, follow me." It isn't a question. It isn't really even an invitation. This is a command. Jesus doesn't say, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers for people." Jesus says, "Come," period. So the first disciples are left with a decision. Jesus has told them what the next right thing is, but what probably seems in their best interest is to make sure they get what they need for today and tomorrow. The clear thing to do was to keep fishing and make their money, but the command was to follow. The future wasn't clear, but the command was. Luckily, Jesus came and offered them something that they would grow all too familiar with, agonizingly so. Because throughout their time together, Jesus would offer them this, a metaphor. And this metaphor is that he would make them fishers for people. A clear as mud metaphor to them that they would only understand later. But they would understand it later only if they did the next right thing, which was to listen to his command and follow Jesus. Through the calling of the disciples, we see Jesus giving commands before he gives clarity. After these disciples chose to do the next right thing, even when the future was unclear, they were able to see their life with complete clarity later on. So much clarity, in fact, that they committed their entire lives, and for three of them, they even committed their deaths. It is precisely because of these men that you and I are worshiping together today. But that wasn't clear to them. In fact, that picture wasn't even a little bit fuzzy. Because what if Peter, Andrew, James, and John would have been more concerned with clarity than commands? What if they thought, "I see what you're saying, Jesus, and I appreciate the offer, but can you come back tomorrow, maybe? Or can you come back next week? Or I appreciate the offer, but I don't know if you know this, I kind of need this job. I can't just give it up." Maybe if you can lay out a long-term life and ministry plan here, then I might be able to jump on this bandwagon. Maybe you felt like this before. I know I probably should do that, but I need to make the time. But you want to know why God gives commands before God gives clarity? Why doesn't God give us clarity first? It'd be so much easier for us to make the right choices. God gives commands first because God wants us to be in it for relationship, not for results. The only way we will ever see true clarity is in relationship with Jesus. And relationship doesn't happen in the future. Relationship happens here and now. God gives commands before God gives clarity because we can only experience clarity if we follow God's commands. That's why we do the next right thing. If God gives commands before God gives clarity, what does that mean for us? It doesn't mean that we forsake our future entirely, friends. We ought to do what is needed to take care of ourselves and others going forward, but we shouldn't do that instead of dropping our nets and following at the command of Jesus. It means that we should not forsake the commands of God in exchange for our own personal clarity. Because the truth is, you get more clarity by worshiping online than by watching another episode on Netflix. You get more clarity by engaging in a small group than by isolating yourself. You get more clarity by loving the people in your presence right now than you do by worrying about what's coming next. So together, let's do the next right thing, church, knowing clarity is coming next. Amen.